Blog Talk
right.
Radio.
All right. Welcome to Hustle and Flows. You got the game changer, my man, Sekou, in the house. Social distancing is in full effect worldwide, at least
feet,
in the U.S.
Six feet, man.
It's crazy.
Don't get no closer.
This is crazy. You know, I was thinking about this. Like, I'm kind of like, by birthday, I'm kind of like a millennial, but like I lean more Gen X as far as like just my orientation to the world. I'm a 1980 baby, so like I'm right in between
okay.
the two, like
the
literally
cusp.
Right on the edge, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was raised up by my older cousins who are all Gen X 70s babies, and so like I just kind of that's kind of how I rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, man, in my lifetime, man, this is the wildest thing I've ever had to experience. Like, you know, my aunts and uncles would talk about the Depression, and, you know, they were the Depression babies. That's what the family always called them, the Depression babies, because they just had a different orientation to the world, man. And I just, man, like, this is wild, man. How you holding up?
Poorly. I'm squarely Gen X, but, you know, I'm like of that generation who's like, I can be by myself, but really, if I ever have spare time, I'm trying to hang out and do things socially because, you know, that matters. And to have that be a restriction is, I don't know, it's kind of messing with me. And on top of that, you know, I'm converting all of my teaching to online in, you know, about a week.
Ooh.
So
yeah.
Aside from that, we're doing well, and if I don't end up kicking my 6-year-old daughter out of the house within the next 2 weeks while she's home, that will be a win because she's already it's already at a stage where I'm like, just go to bed. It's only 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing
I'm
from
done.
You.
I'm out.
I'm done. I'm tapping out.
I'm out. Yeah, dad is out.
I think I literally said on now mind you, they were out on Friday. So Friday, Saturday, my wife was out of town. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think it was Sunday. It must have been like 3 in the afternoon. And I was just like, I don't want you guys, this is to my son and my daughter, to say my name for the next hour. Just don't say daddy for the next hour. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, I just cannot take it. If one of you says daddy one more time, I'm just going to flip out. And they just went upstairs and played with their Beyblades and dolls and gave me an hour. And then we were fine
Smart
again.
Smart children. Smart children. Smart children. Hey, some kids don't get it.
Yeah. I think they saw, like, I'm being serious. I'm dead ass right now.
Yeah, like, the eye
Please.
Twitch, like, yo, man, I'm about to crack. I'm about to crack. Y'all gonna feel it.
So, aside from that, it's good. But like we were talking about over text, this is definitely the end of days because Jay Electronica dropped an album.
Yeah. And this has been like the hip-hop Yeti. You know what I'm saying? Like a Lucy every 3 or 4 years. Like he came out strong in the early 2010s and early teens, dropped some just hot stuff. And then just like was a rumor. For the last 10 years. Like, dude lived as a rumor for the last 10 years. Like, it's wild.
I mean, literally dated a Rothschild. I mean, that was the type of stuff you'd be like, yo, did you know Jay Electronica's dating a Rothschild? You mean like the Rothschild
right.
Rothschild? Like, yeah, like the billionaire, you know, one of the wealthiest families in the... Yeah, Jay Electronica's dating one of them. I'm like, okay, he's never
After
man,
having
I mean,
a child with Erykah Badu.
Yeah, of course. I'm like,
which is also like, what?
Yeah. That the quiet is kept might have really been the thing that really did it all. As soon as that happened, I was like, well, Common hasn't been the same. Three Stacks
right.
hasn't been the same.
Hey.
Jay Electronica hasn't been the same. And those three, at their peak, were probably in my top 10.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like when they
Without
were at their
question.
Best, I was like, I would listen to this person. If I had to listen to this person the rest of my life, that wouldn't be terrible. And now, man, did you see your boy Common rapping on All-Star Weekend?
Nope. Did not.
You
I
did
told
not
you,
watch
I'm out. I don't need to hear another bar from him. As soon as he started, I turned the channel. I swear to God. I was like, man, I love Chicago. I'm from Chicago, man. But I ain't trying to hear none of this, man.
Oh,
I swear
man.
To God, I turned it off. I turned it off, his whole little thing. I turned back and he was still going. I turned again.
He rapped everybody's name. I mean, it was just peak Common trying so hard and just unable to make it pop. He's just
cool.
Like, yo, you know what I'm going to do that's going to impress him this time? I'm going to rap everybody's name on this All-Star team, Harden. And all, I was like, why? Why are you doing this? You don't need to do any of this.
Like, come on, bro. This is some old elementary hip-hop tricks, man. Come on, man. I'm just out on old boy. That's my guy. I will live off of his catalog. I even like Electric Circus a little bit. So I after that, though, I kind of was like, yo. B came, and B was hot. And then it was just
we
good.
Yeah. Well, part of the Rona is that it's allowing me to dig into the crates a little bit, and I'm probably gonna go back through Common's catalog at some point, and just fall in love with him as a rapper just all over again. So I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm gonna wait until I'm in the dark place. And then I'm going to pull out, Taste of Chocolate Taste of Chocolate, like Water for Chocolate.
Yeah.
Or something like that, and just be like, oh, man, this is amazing. I love this.
Yep, and then you'll start tracking back through and you'll be like, oh, man, dude, was so dope. You were so dope. What the hell?
Yeah. No, I won't go
it was
past
definitely
B.
It was definitely a hard stop. It's a hard stop. It's a hard stop. Man, this Corona situation got March Madness canceled. This is what I call basketball Christmas, man, because you got the local state tournaments popping.
Mm-hmm.
You got the NCAA, you got the conference tournaments that lead up to the NCAA tournament. And, man, like, you got NBA. This Rona thing wouldn't be so bad if basketball was still happening. Like, I swear, I would actually be like, wait, I don't have to go to work during March Madness?
No.
Oh, this coronavirus thing is dope.
Except for that one little, Gobert, just Rudy. Come on, man.
It ruined it. Ruined it.
Ruined it for everybody.
Ruined it.
I feel kind of bad because I know he legit was like, I didn't know. If he knew he had it, he wouldn't have been playing around.
Right.
But the dude was just straight clowning. And it was almost like, you need to sit here and take these L's because you would be in a clown.
Yeah.
And if everyone's mad at you, so be it. You'll be all right.
But honestly, like, he might have died for our sins, man. He might have straight died for our sins. Like he might have fell on the sword. Like, just think, if like he hadn't got it, like, arenas would still be open and this stuff would be, like, live and popping. Like, it would be on and popping. Like, we could be in real trouble. Like, the fact that
like
he got it, like, caused the NBA to shut down. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it caused the league to shut down. And once the league shut down, everybody else was like, well, okay.
NBA shut
we probably should start
down.
Thinking
what are
about
we,
shutting
we,
down,
we,
too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think University of Texas
NCAA
was
like,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
They're not playing NBA games.
Yeah.
Why are we having classes?
Right. And then the NCAA was like, if the NBA ain't playing, then why is we?
Yeah.
And then the high schools was like, well, the NCAA and the NBA ain't playing.
Yeah.
Y'all want us to pretend like we got this?
Yeah. Y'all want to pretend
like, no,
our,
we got this under control.
Our management of this pandemic is going to be better than the billion-dollar industries? Sure.
Right.
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we got this. No, y'all don't. Let's just shut it down and just call it a wrap. Let's just keep everybody safe. So yeah, man, this is it. So Jay Electronica, man, this a written testimony.
What was your? I want to go through a couple. There's only nine, so I want to go through these. Oh, ten. There's only 10 tracks. But what was your overall feel of it? I've heard. Online there's been a lot of people chiming in, but I was curious And I think even on text, I was like, I'm still digesting. I'm still trying to get my thoughts together. But what were your overall thoughts?
So lyrically, it's sick. I mean, Jay Electronica and Jay-Z, very much on point from a lyrical perspective. Like, just like, it's heavy, but it's not like, I can't listen to it no more heavy. Like, sometimes J. Cole is. It's like just so much in there, and but there's also like some levity to it, and like some playfulness with some of his some of the subject matter. Some of his references are very playful, so like I dig that. The sound is kind of what I expected, and I don't know how I feel about that because I would have expected this in 2010. You mean like so like that's the one thing, like I like the feel of it, and I appreciate that. It sounds aged without sounding dated in that sense, but it also doesn't stray away from like what I expected his album to sound like, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
I expected his album to sound like this, but I expected it to come out in 2010. But it doesn't sound like it's from 2010, if that makes sense.
So I think I have the same copies, right? So there's been no more anticipated album than this album I can't think of, except maybe Detox that never came out, right? You know, so that was an album that just, I think, even Dre realized, like, I'll never be able to match the hype around this album, so I'll just
the myth,
with the Electronica, it was like, I just think he's kind of buried under the expectations. So this does sound like this could have been released in 2011. And maybe Jay-Z wouldn't have been on it as heavy, but I think he could have done it. The fact that he produced, I think, 6 out of the 10 tracks, quite sounds like a Jay Electronica. It sounds actually a lot like the bootleg mix tapes that came out, like Attack of the Clones and, you know, Best. He had a Best Of, even though he had no album, you know, and so it was a lot of like... He just sampled a soundtrack from a movie and then just rapped on it for 2 minutes. And I was like, I don't know what that was, but I liked it. I just, what was that? And that, there were just some songs here that are like that. But, yeah, to your point, it was exactly what I expected, which is good. It didn't wow me. It wasn't like, I was like, oh, man, this is even better than I expected. But I expected a lot. And so if this is what I get, I'm happy with it. The way I'm kind of thinking about it, though, is I think this might be the monkey off his back. I think he needed to release this. It had to be good so that, you know, critically acclaimed, so his fans had to come out and be like, thank you for doing this. And he kind of felt like, oh, all right, good. I got that. That's no longer this thing that's haunting me. And I'm hoping this just opens up for him to make, like, 8 albums. Right, so now he's like, there's no pressure. Now you can just make another album. You can, you know, team up with No ID and just make another eight track out. You know, like, do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think his best album might be like 3 albums from now. And so part of me appreciates this a lot because I think this will be what now gets us so that we have Jay Electronica out here just making music instead of, you know, in his own head. So, yeah, I'm a positive that the beats that he made for this were all made in 2010, 2011, which is why it sounds old. But Jay hopped on all of them and, you know, gave them kind of a new feel, and he probably re-recorded the lyrics. And so it's like, oh, it's new, but it's old, which works. It's fine. It's fine. I enjoy it. I've listened to it probably 6 or 7 times since it came out, and I like it. You know, there's no decreasing. There's no, I probably like it a little more each time because I'm picking up on kind of certain references. And obviously there's a lot of religion baked into it. And so sometimes you'll hear something and hear a religious allegory. And then you listen to it again and be like, oh, he's linking that to something. You know, so there's a lot of layers to it because they're both lyricists. So there's a lot of like Easter eggs buried in it that I like. And it's an easy hang. Except for one song that drives me absolutely insane. Other than that, I really, all of these I like.
Okay. So which song is the one you're like, oh, I can't?
So this is a song, and I've never felt this way about a song, but I like the lyrics, and I like the beat, and I hate them together. I mean, I have a physical reaction hearing it, and that's Flux Capacitor.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
got a beat that's like kind of really rah-rah, nice sample in there, and like, and it's the, and he's got the hook where it's like, get the gag, get the gag, get the gag, and I'm just like, it's barely on beat. The they're rapping and you can't hear half of the words because of the way the beat hits. I was just like, what? Is this on purpose? Like, was this? It sounds like when there's a bad mix by an amateur DJ and they try to put the lyrics of one song onto a track and you're just like, okay, that doesn't work. But I was like, no, y'all mastered this. What were y'all thinking? And so that song drives me crazy because I would love either the lyrics on a completely different beat or this beat and have them just go in and have it be kind of almost like an anthem, like an amped anthem.
Yeah.
What it is just it's a mess. It's a mess of a song. It's unexplainable. I was like, how did Jay-Z, the perfectionist, sit back, hear that, and say like, oh yeah, beautiful. Let's straight to print. Let's go.
I remember my first listen to that when I was like, okay, I'm trying to catch like a vibe and I can't yet. Like I didn't know what to listen to. Like, cause it was like three different things going on. Like you got the like sample in the back with the drums and like, you know, it's kind of off kilter a little bit. And then you have like this, I don't know, it sounds like a hi-hat or whatever in the back that's like really like got a lot of reverb to it and that's going. And then you got the raps going at the same, and it's like, man, y'all got like three different things going on, man. And I just, like, can y'all take some, what is this? Can y'all take one out?
This is a song that's
point,
going
like,
to get
Jay Electronica's verse.
Yeah.
Over Jay Electronica's verse, they take the hi-hats in the background out, and it, like, settles in for a little bit. You can kind of get into the groove. Jay Electronica's rhythm over it, his cadence and his tempo over it is better than Jay's. Jay just kind of seemed like he was just trying to catch up. He couldn't quite catch up to what was going on the track.
I'm positive he was not rapping to this beat. I would almost bet $100 that Jay's like, yeah, I rapped to a different beat. They said it's at the same time. They just put this verse on this beat because I've never heard him rap on a song and just be like, where are you? Where are you in this?
Yeah, are you listening to the same track, bro?
So every time I hear this, I was like, this is just they should have left this one off or did something else to it. Someone is gonna grab this. I'm hoping like Alchemist grabs these lyrics and says, you know what, I'm going to put together a Primo somebody and remixes this. And then this song is going to be dope. Because when you listen to what they're saying, Jay-Z rapping about the NFL kind of deal and only the way that Jay-Z can, where he's like,
right.
I mean, yeah, I sold out. Like, why? I could have just done nothing. I'm rich. It's like I got more money than Goodell.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Right.
Why do you think I'm selling
out? I got money
out?
In the whole
I
bench.
Can buy him. I can buy him. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like,
right.
He does have a point. you know what I mean?
Yes, he does.
And then Jay's kind of talking about, just, you know, he's rapping about whatever he wants to. But you can tell this is his verse and it's his song. And Jay-Z's like, okay, I'll hop in there. I'll try it out. Why not?
Yeah. So how do you feel about that pairing throughout the album? Why do you think Jay-Z decided to jump on this, right?
My feel is it was the only way this was ever going to become an album, right? Like if you take out Jay-Z's verses, this sounds like a bunch of scattered, like half-made songs that I'm guessing Jay Electronica had for 8 years and was just like, yeah, I don't know what to do with this. And Jay-Z was probably like, man, this is like 8 songs. You just need to finish it. And he just couldn't. And Jay-Z was like, all right, I'm just going to get on this. And because they don't, really connect in any way, oftentimes they're not even really rapping with the same cadence. I think like on the Blinding, that one sounds like they might have recorded it recently together, right? And that's like a Swiss is on it, and it's like an A-Rap Music kind of track. And so that one seems like, oh, they heard a track, both of them got in there, wrote it out, did it, boom. The rest of these seem like they were, like Jay-Z needed to resuscitate this album from its purgatory and did so by jumping on in different parts. And so it seems a little disjointed, but both of them are good enough that I don't care if their verses don't really connect, they're both good enough individually that it's worth listening to.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of viewed it. I felt like as I started to listen to it and just thinking about the kind of the context in which the album was created, it felt like Jay was like kind of like his sponsor. You know, like how Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, you got a recovering addict and you got they got a sponsor who was kind of like coaching them through like their recovery process. And I felt like Jay's presence was like him, like kind of like, hey man, we're gonna get you. I'm gonna get you through this. You know what I mean? Like you got all these like you're struggling. Yeah, you're struggling to get this done. You know what I mean? You're struggling to get through this. I got you. We're gonna get through it together. I'm gonna rock with you. You know what I mean? I just felt like he was kind of like that therapist. Like, hey, we getting through this together. Like, I'm walking this walk with you. We're gonna get this bad boy done. We're gonna get this bad boy out. And I feel like it's like damn near an intervention. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna jump on every track to help you get through this because we've been waiting on this for so long, bro. And when you listen to Jay Electronica's lyrics, this process has sat with him and is really deeply ingrained in like his head right now, as far as like, you know, he's dropping bars about how his anxiety around just like coming up with bars and getting this out and making this happen. And like, there's a lot layered within that. And I think that's also why religion is so deep in this, because he probably had to lean on his faith quite a bit to figure out how to get through this. And I think Jay is that other leg of the stool that is kind of propping this album up, and help Jay kind of get to this point where he could like finally feel comfortable releasing something. But I just thought Jay's presence was one, surprising, and then two, as you said, like these are like unfinished songs, and we can talk about Jay Electronica as a songwriter in a little bit, but Jay's presence, I think, gave a little bit more meat to these like outlines, these rough drafts or blueprints of a larger structure, and he kind of came in and was like, okay, let's put the finishing touches on this, and I will come in with the second verse if you ain't got one, and we're going to make this, we're going to get this to 3 minutes or 2:45, and we're going to run with it. You know, and I think that, again, he was like, because this is the therapy part of it. We just got to get this out, man. Like, you have to get this out for you. You know what I mean? So that you can then go on and get past this. As you said, get past this moment, and so that you can do it and move forward.
Yeah. I mean, so the verses on the Blinding, right, when he's just talking about, you know, the pressure he felt to, you know, to make this, and why, you know, the conversation he had with Jay-Z was like, yo, your sister's tired of working, and don't you want to make this money? Like, what's happening? And he kind of had to be coaxed into it. And then in Ezekiel's Wheel, you know, he talks about being, sometimes I'm held down by the gravity of my pen or the gravity of my sin. You know, I transform into the wind with the allusion to the alchemist. So I was like, this is for sure something that's weighing on him, which is why my point earlier, like, I think this could actually uncork something, I hope. And so with this pressure removed, he can go on like a mixtape Wheezy like run. Then the world will be better for it. So, you know, again, I'm with you on this. I think Jay was the sponsor slash, you know, Jay-Z's hitting you up like, yo, this song is ready. You know, even you have to be like, oh, Jay says it's ready. I guess it's ready. You know, like if somebody else tells you that, this is, you know, one time, that's it, Jay. And he's telling you it's good. So
right.
That's probably that's my guess too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say from a sound perspective, a sonically, like Jay Electronica, I think he really flexed on this one in a way where he proved, like, I don't need a banger of a beat to entertain you.
Mm-hmm.
He's that good of a lyricist. And he's that entertaining as a lyricist. Both of the Jays on this are both very entertaining as lyricists, and they don't need elaborate soundscapes to get you into whatever it is they're trying to get into. As a songwriter, I still think Jay Electronica's got to figure that out. And I think that's when his best album, his best work will come out, is when he figures out how to fully craft a song. Like right now, he's got, like, I feel like he's got, like, dope verses, and he's such a dope rapper that, again, like I just loop a sample and I'm gone, you know?
Yeah.
And I think he has to get beyond that part.
Mm-hmm.
He has to develop his skill set beyond that particular trick. Like, give me a dope sample, loop it, and I'm finna rock. And I'm gonna lay so much layered reference and entendre and simile and metaphor in this joint, and just like authentic storytelling and truth telling, that it won't matter what I'm rapping over. And I think maybe that's how they felt on Flux Capacitor.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I feel like that's what they thought. Because I don't know if you watched the live stream. I think I said it to you, like, you know, this, the whole dropping of this thing was surreal. It was like a tweet, and then it was like, yo, it's coming. And, you know, a couple of my boys sent it to me, and I was like, yeah, I don't believe any of that until it's real. And then they were
right,
like, we're
right,
live streaming it now. And I was like, all right, let me live. So I logged in, and it was just like a video. It looked like Jay-Z was recording it. And it was just like Jay Electronica, a bunch of other folks in the studio listening to it. So you're listening to it through the the camera. So it's already
mm-hmm.
distorted. And I remember Flux Capacitor came on, and I was like, man, I must be missing something, because this just sounds like noise. And they were going crazy. I mean, he must have played that song like three times in the live stream. So this is like his jam. I think this
right,
is where he
right.
felt like, oh, yeah, this is going to be what Cass is playing of that new Jay Elect. And
right.
So I'm a little worried. So I hear what you're saying about I think he flexed it. He did a good job producing the stuff. He's got a sound, just like Eminem when he produces, he's got a sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think sometimes it feeds into his worst impulses as a lyricist, that he'll make a beat that kind of meanders, and so then his lyrics kind of meander, and they don't really
yeah.
have a stop or a start. Whereas, you know, I think the best track on this is The Blinding. I think...
Yep.
It's
yeah.
kind of two
hands
songs
down.
Mashed together, but you see when he's like, when someone else brings him, it's like, yo, here's how the track is going to come together, and here's going to be, and then I rap to this, I think it does a good job of focusing him. I think he needs like a no ID to just be like, we're going to make 10 songs, and I'm just going to
mm-hmm.
push you to make these songs, or I would say Kanye, but. Lord, no. You know, but somebody like that
I got another
Mad Lib
we'll get into in a second.
Oh, okay. I want to hear like a Mad Lib or a Premier, someone that is a producer but is also an artist, and so
right.
can like really help him kind of pull things together. And that would be, I think that'll be what it takes, because left to his own devices, I think you get a little bit of this kind of weird stuff, which is fine. I like it, but I know he can do this and he can make a regular album, right? So he can be
mm-hmm.
Mixtape Weezy, and he can also make, you know, Carter 2 or Carter 4,
right.
which was a good, what was the best Carter? I'm trying to remember now.
I want to say Carter 3.
Carter
I think
3
Carter
was
3
best.
Was the best one.
All
yeah,
right.
Carter 2 was,
some
Carter 2
I remember
was where Weezy
the...
came back and got our attention, like, oh, Weezy can rap. I mean, he can rap and write. He can do this. And then Carter 3 was
yeah.
the one with Lollipop on it, that one that went supernova.
Okay, yeah. So I feel like
yeah.
that's in there somewhere. All right, but I want to hear
yeah.
this Kanye theory. Well, because a lot of Watch the Throne comparisons.
Yes, so the Watch the Throne comparisons, and the intro to the second song, what's it called? God dang it.
Ghost of Soldier Slim.
I'm blanking on it. Yes, the Ghost of Soldier Slim, where he says,
"Oh, yeah.
You scared Negroes, sit
scared
down.
Scared to death, Negroes.
Stop defending your master and our enemy, and tell your master to come on out here and get this work." hey, man, I'm saying, yo, that might be a shot.
It was a shot at somebody. I hadn't thought of it that way. But, yeah, that intro, I mean, that was like Public Enemy level, right? When you just start taking the heat from Minister Farrakhan, I might just be like, oh, you know what this, you know I'm talking to? Y'all scared deaf Negroes. That could be like the theme for the rest of 2020.
Hey, I'm telling you. But as my mother used to say, man, as my mother used to say, the shoe might not have been made for you, but if it's your size, you can put it on.
I think it fits. I think it fits. Ye is, you can't even say what one thing Ye is on, but this definitely feels like we're just in here making music, man. I don't know what you got going on, all this stuff, these demons you're fighting that we don't see or necessarily understand. But, like, there's real, and the thing that I like about Jay Electronic is that he is, you know, he is very religious, but it's not. It's not this like high philosophical. It's rooted in lived experience, right? Like this is a guy that has talked about being homeless, talked about being poor, talked about running with cats that were doing all types of terrible things, and he's reformed. He's kind of a Malcolm Little, Malcolm X kind of story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when he's talking about this stuff, you know that it has a meaningfulness to him that. A lot of other artists, sometimes you hear them talk, other artists, just Kanye. You just feel like this is, I don't know, more of an infatuation than a true life philosophy, you know?
Right, right. Like with Ye, it's very much like he just got into this. You know, just that zeal, that zealousness when somebody just gets onto something and they just all about it and they want to preach to everybody else about it, and it's like, bro, man, you don't quite get what you're talking about yet on a real real personal or deep level. Just fall. I'm glad you're excited. Like, I really am.
I want to encourage
fall
you.
Back. Yeah, like, I'm glad you found something that connects, man, but, like, chill, bro. And with Ye, everything with Ye feels like a marketing scheme. It just does. And it always does.
Yeah.
So that's always a deal with Kanye is that it always feels like a marketing scheme. But I just felt like that particular part of it and the Watch the Throne feel was not coincidental. I feel like if that shoe fits anybody right now, given the two people involved, particularly Jay's involvement, and just, again, the natural understanding that they're going to be, once Jay got involved, there were going to be those comparisons between the two projects. I can see Jay being like, yeah, that works both ways. That works for you, but that works for me too.
Right, and this is gonna be my guy, And Jay Z has a way of doing this. He's like, all right, this is gonna be my guy. I'm putting the full force. I'm hyping him up, And there might be a couple of really classic albums that I helped this dude make, and it's just gonna be one of those like. Oh, yeah, you remember when I did this for you? Yeah, okay. I just wanted to be sure you remembered. Like, you were excited when I gave you a chain. Remember how happy you were? I mean, I know you're big and bad now, but let's just remember.
Right. Yes.
So he's never above it, which is also the part I love about Jay-Z is he's never above. I don't care how many billions
he's
got.
He's still from the streets.
He's like, I'm going to throw a couple of jabs. Just in case.
And this is like that level of like artsiness, you know what I mean? That like this sits as an album, but also as a piece of art, in my opinion, just because of the way it's structured and kind of set up. And it's not like I don't think they're expecting this to like get a bunch of streams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like this is like definitely like an artistic piece of hip hop where it's like, yo, we doing this for the culture, for the people or whatever. This isn't the Jay Electronica product project that Jay is like, we finna bank out on, we finna cash out on this one.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? That one again, maybe three projects down the road. You know what I mean?
No, this was number one in iTunes, whatever they call the spins, download, you know, plays for the week. And Jay Electronica did tweet that out, like, FYI, this is number one. I'm just saying. And then he just started, like, retweeting people who were clowning him, saying different things about it. And he was like, I don't know why I find it so funny. So it's to see him interact, like, I'm happy with all of it. I'm here for all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good to kind of see it evolve and where it goes from here. Hopefully Jay can do a better job than Wyclef did guiding Cannabis, of guiding this lyrical monster.
That first Cannabis album, come on, bro. That thing is, I mean, it's a classic. There's no other way to put it. You put that thing, when's the last time you listened to that?
Whew, it's probably been 10 years.
Trust me, I was on a flight. Man, I don't even know where. It was like an international flight. So this was like maybe a year ago. And for whatever reason, I was like, nah, you know, I'm going to listen to Can I Bust. I think I had a delay. That album is insane. I mean, it's, you know, like where it kind of fell apart, and you can kind of see it in some places. But just what he's spitting is crazy. There's at least three or four songs. I was like, I got to listen to that song again. So, I mean, after that, it got weird. But that album,
I feel like it always does with the super lyrical cats, though. Like, you go Cannabis, like Lupe, like Food and Liquor is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? And the bootleg is better than the retail.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. And then the cool is like, okay, this is good. And then it was just like, after that, just like, eh. Like, and so I'm hoping Jay Electronica does not fall victim to that, because I just feel like sometimes the super lyrical cats, they after that first one, it starts to go in a weird direction as far as like they try to get too lyrical, and it's like, yo, man, I ain't got time to be figuring this stuff out.
Speaking of which. Because up until this came out, I was hurting a little for music. Did you listen to Funeral, the Lil Wayne album?
I did. I listened to it probably twice, and I didn't come back to it.
Yeah, same. I was like, oh, man, this is it. This is all we got. This is Wayne from now. I was underwhelmed. And then what else? There was another one. Music to be Murdered By, Eminem joint.
Yeah.
So that one I like the
little. You know how I am with M albums.
I know.
I just don't even. I don't even.
There are about four songs on there that are like he went into studio and was like, I'm going to just body this verse. And it was great. And then, you know, the album has its ups and downs, but there's about four or five songs on there that are really good. So, listening to him.
Yeah, I always let people send me stuff. Like, when he hits a hot verse, somebody will hit me up and be like, I'm not going to listen to the album. My close friends know that. And they will just, hey, M killed this one. Listen to it. I appreciate him.
Yeah.
I respect him. I appreciate him, but, like, just shoot me the highlights. I want the sports.
I'm gonna shoot you these verses. I'm gonna make a Eminem shortlist, Music to be Murdered By on Spotify, and I'll send it to you. And I want you to let me know. Like, it's like four songs max. I won't make you listen to the rest of it.
right, trick me into the whole daggone record.
Just listen to these 17 tracks. I mean, it is something like that. I was like, how many songs are on this thing? But he's got a joint with Young Ma. Is it Young Ma? It's somebody, and it actually works. So I mean, him doing stuff with like some younger artists, I'm like, oh, okay, all right, M. And it's not just it's not like it's like they actually were in a studio together. It wasn't like I emailed you a verse, he emailed you a verse, and now we're on an album together. But yeah, so there's a whole lot of old vets making tracks, making albums.
It's fabulous. Have you checked Fabulous's album?
Is this the cold summer one?
Yeah.
It was all right. I wanted to like it more.
I actually
maybe
liked
I need
that
to
one.
Listen to it again. Yeah, that.
I liked
okay.
that. I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed that one.
I think the vibe of it was a little R&B-ish, and
very much
kind of lost me.
It was fast.
He kind of lost
definitely
me.
Like, it was definitely early 2000s fab. Like, I'm here for the radio.
Yeah. Which,
yeah.
Did any of that stuff hit the radio? Did he have a radio hit off that album?
I think he had maybe one that got like some serious XM run, but that's really it. But it definitely has that like serious XM, the Heat, the Hot 97 kind of vibe to it.
The Heat. I skip over the Heat. I am 45.
Oh, we all the grown folks do. Only when the children are in the car do you put on the Heat.
And I'm really like, oh, this is Maya featuring Ja Rule. Oh,
right.
Okay. This
yes.
will be on the Heat.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
So
that
one I'll pull back out. But what other new things?
It was straight. It was solid. Let me see, what other new things am I digging? Wale's joint was okay. That's another one where it's just like, where did it go? It's just been so up and down for Wale. One thing I will give Wale credit for is he can make a radio song. He can do that.
Yeah.
Yes. Every project he'll have one or two that'll get heavy spins on the radio, and you just kind of like, he had an album out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you like, Wale got a song out? Is this off an album? He got an album out?
Yeah.
I didn't even
he's
know.
Like a Spotify, Apple Music all-star, because he'll just have a whole bunch of Wale songs. You'd be like, was this on an album, or was this just a collection of songs and features? And it's like, does it matter? Like, no, it doesn't.
Right.
It actually doesn't.
Not at this point anymore.
So, Action Bronson, that one is made. That's an album that was probably made for cats like me. It's Alchemist did the whole thing. It's just straight new. It's just about 100% New York, as New York as you can get. Interludes are just cats in some random, bathroom talking smack. You barely understand. It's like Wu-Tang, like early Wu interludes where like you're catching them mid conversation and you're like, yo, I have no idea what's happening, and these guys are cracking up and someone just got slapped and you're like, what? And then a song will start and you're just like, oh, okay.
All right.
So Lamb of Rice, Action Bronson.
Okay. I haven't taken that one.
And that one is short. That one I think is like seven songs. That one's seven songs. So you can get, that's a workout. That's like I'm going
to
go for a quick run and listen to this entire thing.
Well, you can't go to the gym no more.
Yeah. Okay, go, Jerry. You can run outside. That's still fine.
I was like, oh, man, we got all this time off, man. I can get back into my gym routine. Season's over. I got time. And sure enough, man, I was like, actually, do I want to go to the gym? Like, I really sat down and thought about it. I got up one morning. I was like, nah, you talk about sharing germs. Like, that's probably highly likely I'll be sharing a lot of germs in that environment. And normally, I don't mind that much. But right now, I'm on pause on the gym. I'm just going to work out in the basement downstairs.
You're a smarter man than me. I've been like, oh, I'm going to the gym. And wasn't until one of my boys who used to work at the CDC was like, you should definitely not be going to the gym. And I was like, so I shouldn't be going to play ball? And he was like, oh, you 1,000% shouldn't be playing basketball. And then he sent me a series of pictures of people playing and was like, see here where I'm circling? That's where germs are being spread. That's where you can catch the Rona right there. And I was like, all
right. Right.
Pickup canceled. So, yeah, now I'm just running outside.
Yeah. See,
last
we can't
one
do that. I'm not for that yet.
I haven't made it through is Royce dropped an album, The Allegory.
Yes. I'm working through that one myself.
Listen,
got a different vibe.
Yeah, it's got a lot of songs, 20 tracks. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This dude is like the Alexander Hamilton of rap. He just writing like he's running out of time. I'm just like, dog, you just came up with 25 songs and just a Java album, like every year. It's been like every year now.
Yes, it has.
So I think he's trying to do something again big. He's an artist. So I feel like there's a thing he's trying to do. So I'm trying to get into it, but the songs aren't as banging as some other ones. But it's Royce, so
nah.
I'm always going to listen. I'm always going to give it a try. He's
right,
probably
right.
Forever. So the way you're
now,
out on comment, I'm in on Royce.
All right. No, there are people I'm in on. There are people I'm like, if they put something out, I'm definitely going to listen to it. So this is me kind of giving into my environment a little bit. But I've been into the baby, man. Like of the new cats, mm-hmm. of the youngsters, the baby is the only one I can be like, I can rock with this guy. Like, no,
yeah.
He's not super lyrical, but it all works. You know what I mean? In the way that we all have those rappers from our eras who are like, yeah, he wasn't the most lyrical cat, but it works.
Yeah. I mean, compared to his peers, he's, you know, he's Jay Electronica.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compared to the cats that he's rapping with,
right.
It's like, I can understand what he's saying. It's complex rap patterns. He actually does have content and an arc to like his songs and what have you.
So
haven't talked about 2019, but I thought he was definitely the MVP of 2019. I mean, he dropped two albums, and I think the second album was better than the first. Kirk was better than Baby on Baby.
Oh yeah,
and,
Kirk is the one that got me. Yeah, Kirk is the one I was like, okay, I can rock with this.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm in. I was like, all right, you got me. And then his videos and the energy he brings, I was like, okay, I get it. The thing that I've noticed, I think with him, and I think he's, I'm trying to think now if he's someone who I really heard it with, but there is like Outkast, not Andre. Big Boy. So, Big Boy, and I've always had kind of a, I want to like him more, but I just can't get into him. His influence on a lot of these younger rappers is just tremendous. I mean, if you listen to the baby, it's like, oh, when he's really going after it, he sounds just like him, right? Like, he sounds like he's like, oh,
right.
When I'm really trying to kill it, that's who I'm channeling. You know, in a way that I missed or appreciated. It's almost like when you get Kobe and all these young players, like, yo, Kobe's the guy that I, you know, thought about. He was like my idol. I feel like these guys are all at least partially being influenced by him.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a phenomenon with that. And I kind of liken this to, like, Pimp C's influence out of UGK. Like, I think, like, if you're a young cat coming up and you want to rap, you listen to Andre and you're like, I can't do that. But Big Boy, I can rock with. I can kind of get some of what he's got going on. You know what I mean? And I think you listen to UGK coming up, it's like, I don't know if I can be Bun.
Yeah.
But I can get that Pimp C flavor down. You know what I mean? And so I think those guys, or even like Fife. You know what I mean? Like, you got a Tip and it's like, he's too unique. Like, he's got something special, but the other dude, I can rock. I can get his steez. Like, I can pick up on that. I can vibe with that because I can closer connect to it. And I think sometimes that second guy in the group has a more of a influence on other rappers. I think the first guy has the influence kind of to the culture. You know what I mean? And then the second guy kind of has that influence more on rappers who are coming behind, because it's just like, the other dude is one of the goats. But the other guy, like, I can rock. Like, I can, like, I'm not, you're not going to be Andre, so don't try.
You're going to look silly, but.
Right. And everybody's going to be like, you're trying to be like Andre, huh?
It's like, that's what you're trying to do. It's like, is it that obvious?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Don't do
it's
that.
Like, it was like, it also was like the Kobe George thing. It's like, oh, you're trying to be like Mike, huh? Which is always my thing with Kobe. It was like, come on, bro. Just Come on, man, just be you. And when he started to be you, he became more be himself. He became more likable.
Yeah.
We never got to really chop it up about Cole, man. How'd you feel? What were you doing when you got that news?
So, man, what was I? So it was I was in the middle of something. I'm trying to remember where I was. I think I was like at a meeting. Cause what day was it? Was on a Saturday?
It was on a Sunday. I think
Sunday.
It was on a Sunday.
Yeah, it was on a Sunday. And so I was out, you know, doing the Sunday dad stuff, running here and there. And somebody was like, yo, you hear about Kobe? I was like, what? And then, you know, it was like I couldn't find anything. I was like, nah, this can't be real. And then, like, TMZ had it, and then it was off. So, you know, like the first 20 minutes was just mass confusion.
Yeah.
You're like, was this a bad? No, it can't be real. And then it was like, well, it was on TMZ. And, you know, TMZ is probably the most trusted name in journalism right now. For better or for worse. And so I was like, nah. So, and then once like it was confirmed, I think Woj put it or somebody did that, and I was like, man. And then it was just like everything stopped. Like I think at one point my son came up to me, and he must have noticed, like, I was just standing in the living room, and I was like looking at my phone and looking at the TV and like back phone TV phone. And he was like, Dad, like, are you okay? And I just looked at him, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, Kobe Bryant died, son. And he was like, who's Kobe Bryant? And I was like, I have really failed you.
Right,
so, I mean,
right.
He's eight. So I'm like, no,
yeah.
All right, maybe you wouldn't know. But yeah, and, you know, it just – then everything stopped for the rest of that day. And then the next day it was just, this is not real. What about you?
Yeah. So it was a similar experience. I can remember the moment. I can remember certain moments when stuff happened, and I remember when Aaliyah died. I was in college, and I was walking. It was probably a Sunday or Saturday morning, and I was walking to the mess hall to eat breakfast, and I was walking past another cat who I was cool with, and he was like, "Hey, yo, man, Aaliyah died," and I was like, "Dude, get out of here, man. You playing?" And I just kept on going. Later on in the day, I found out he wasn't lying, right? So this was very similar. One of my assistants, I'm at home, I'm watching video because that's what I do Sunday mornings. I'm watching film or whatever, planning the week out for practice. And one of my assistants hits me and he's like, "Kobe died." And then Phil T sends me the TMZ link, and so I'm like, "All right, this TMZ, so I'm gonna wait." I'm gonna wait. And then my wife is like, "Hey, I just got this message that Kobe Bryant died, but we're watching ESPN and there's nothing on here."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Did you get the TMZ link?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "I'm going to wait. I don't believe it yet."
Yeah.
And then, you know, because I'm literally watching ESPN and there's nothing. There's like nothing. And I'm like, "This got to be a hoax." So then my player started hitting me up like, "Coach, Kobe died." And I'm like, "Just wait. Like, it's just a TMZ report. Just be patient. Like, we don't know anything." You know what I mean? And, you know, like, people are like, "I don't know. I think it's real." And, you know, the kids are going back and forth. I'm just like, I'm trying to keep everybody chill. Like, hey, we don't know.
Yeah.
And then I'm reflecting on this afterwards. Like, I'm literally having to calm people down about something that somebody they've never met. That's wild.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to console my players through my phone. And like, hey, just be patient. You know, like, I can't. If Kobe died, I'm like, you don't even know this dude. But, like, it was one of those things where we all felt something. And, like, again, I wasn't never a Kobe fan. I've never been a Kobe fan as a basketball player. Where I became more connected to Kobe was who he became as a father. And that's what really resonated with me. And then just his support of the women's game and the way he kind of, like, really leaned into, like, my daughter is a baller. And I want people to respect her and what she wants to become. So we need to respect what's going on right now within the game. And I think that's where some of my girls connected with him on that level, in the way he supported the women's game. And so, like, it hit hard when he passed. Like, you know, like, we dedicated a week of practice to him. And, you know, because, you know, kids were mourning it. People were mourning that in a different way than I don't think I've ever really experienced. People mourn like a public figure or celebrity, even like Michael Jackson. Like, you know, I'm not a musician, and I'm into music, but I don't travel in the circles of musicians, people who actually create and make music for a living. And I'm sure for them, Mike passing, Prince passing was like on that level. But as far as being in the basketball world, man, Kobe passing was big in a way that I just never have experienced the passing of, again, somebody who I wasn't actually like connected to in my day-to-day life. I think a lot of it was his persona too. Like, you expected to hear like, nah, the plane went down, but Kobe figured out how to get out of there, man.
Exactly. That was the point.
They
didn't
get the Mamba.
Yeah, Kobe was like, nah, bump this. I got took controls and kind of went, and just, he just couldn't believe it. And he was just, you know, you had seen him literally the day before or 2 days before, right? When
LeBron
passed
him up.
And I think it was Nick Wright was on his radio show, and he was talking about how, you know, if you look at the NBA stars don't die young, right? It's like,
right,
aside from, and he rattled off like maybe two names, he was like, the top 50 players in the NBA are all still alive. You know,
right.
it's just, and so to have someone who we all consider to be a top 10 player in his, you know, that was, I mean, what was he, 41?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, because Kobe's a year younger than me, because I mean, he was born 78. So to be 41 and to just be like, nah, we had 40 years at least more of Kobe, right? Like,
right.
Half his story was written. We were going to get another half. And so that's the part. The loss is bad. And then, of course, him and his daughter passing is just, that gets,
yeah,
I think every dad immediately was like,
that took it to another level for me.
I can't even process this. Like, that made me sad in a way that I, you know, and maybe I think that's what was kind of hitting me when my son was trying to talk to me. And, you know, at one point they were like, his whole family, I mean, the rumors were crazy. But, I'll probably remember that forever, just standing there in my living room trying to, like, call people, text people, see what's on the TV. Because, like you, I was like, it's not on ESPN. I'm like, man, are we sure this happened? You know, and I think I was trying to convince
myself.
Right, because
you don't
like, want to
believe
this. This can't be the case. And even my son was like, yo, something's wrong with my dad. And, you know, that's something. So that's probably how I will remember that day, that infamous day.
Yeah, it was one of those experiences that you just kind of, it was very shocking.
2020, bro.
I'm
ready.
I'm telling you.
Let's just fast forward this mug. This has been brutal. 2019
already,
was
man.
Bad.
Already. Yeah. And we still got an election? I'm not even excited about that. I'm not even looking forward to it. I feel like we just being prepped for it.
You got a vote to cast. Don't you got a primary or something coming up?
Yeah, we do, man.
You got to get on it. You're in a state that matters.
Yeah, right?
I got to
go out to a poll tomorrow. Vote. I'm going to come in there looking like, I'm an extra from Outbreak.
Bring a mask. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, it's been dope, man. Good to chop it up with you. This was
good
for this.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. I know you got me. I was like, J Electronica, we got to have an emergency pod. So I appreciate it. I was like, if he can make an album after 10 years, we can get up on a pod after a few months. So
there you go.
Thank
there
you,
go.
J
Elect,
for inspiring us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, we definitely had to do this one. So I appreciate you, man. And until next time, y'all listeners out there, Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio, in full effect, Hustle and Flows, Marcus and Sekou. Peace.
Wash your hands.
Wash them good. 20 seconds at least, man. All right, bro.
All right, brother.